Amen. That sounded good. Amen. I was warned of almost being pranked tonight. Brother Danny said he was going to put a communion cup up here. Big bottle, little bottle. So he was going to do a communion cup. And then I get up here and my little bottle's froze solid. Oh, well. It'll be all right. Romans chapter 7 this evening. Romans chapter 7. We will be back to Genesis 3 here in just momentarily, but this thought this would be a good jumping out place. We'll be back here also in Romans 7 for a moment in a little bit. We started last Wednesday night looking at the popular thought of sin. And not many people will talk about, well, they like to talk about sin, but we don't talk about our own much. But anybody got any trouble with sin? Yeah, well, if you didn't raise your hand, you're in. But sin is a reality. And it's one of those things is we need to understand. Again, I don't make excuses for sin. I want to be just as close to the Lord as I can. I don't like it when sin is in my life. Preacher, you got sin? If I'm breathing, I got sin. There's things that we deal with on a daily basis. And again, there's things I wish. I've been saved since I was 13. I think I'll be 46 this year. My wife's not here to help me, but I think that's right. Russell, there we go. We're 46 this year, right? So I've been saved since 13. I'm 46, or whatever that math comes out to be. I'm too tired to think math right now. But you'd think there'd be things that we'd get victory over, never have to deal with, you know. But I've learned that that's not the case. There's still things, you know, you think you'd grow out of these things, but I don't think we ever grow out of those things. But sin is reality. And I think I had a great conversation with Michael Sunday, and we got talking about some things with children and the way we raise our children, me and him both. His children are a lot younger than mine, but just some things, you know. A lot of times we beat them to death about things, but we never explain anything to them. And I think that's the way it is with sin sometimes, is, you know, people talk about not don't do this, don't do that. This is sin, that's sin. But again, I don't think we do any justice with it because we're not growing in our walk with the Lord to get us closer to the Lord. Here in Romans chapter 7, let me read this and we'll pray and let you be seated. Romans chapter 7, look with me in verse number 18. These are always, well, look at verse 15. Romans chapter 7, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writing here through the inspiration of God. Paul says, "For that which I do, allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." And that's the dilemma tonight. You know, again, we need to understand that, you know, we're all sinners. But again, Paul is wrestling here between that old and new man. And he's like, things that I wish I would do, I don't do them. Anybody here? The things I wish I didn't do, I do them. Anybody here? Well, see, it's very, very time. Verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." So again, we're looking at sin for a little bit more tonight. We started last week. We'll say more about it as we go tonight. But let's pray and we'll let you be seated. Father, we sure love you. Lord, it's a joy to be back in your house. Thank you for the good song. I appreciate God, Lord, the praise, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. And Lord, even God, when I don't even realize how good you are to me, God, you're good to me. I think about some things me and my wife talked about even today, Lord, and how blessed we really are. And God, I thank you for that. Lord, we sure take it for granted. God, help us tonight, Lord. I want to grow. I want to draw closer to you. I want to just get a greater understanding so I can be a greater influence in this world. God, help us to help people, Lord. That's our desire. And Lord, I do ask you tonight to help our families here, Lord. I know there's needs all over this building. God, I just pray that you'd help this evening, Lord. Lord, you might be working on somebody's heart about their salvation tonight. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that they would see you high and lifted up. God, just help us this evening, Lord, not to say anything out of the way, God. Lord, help us just to be mindful, Lord, of the Word of God. Help us to preach the Word, and we sure will thank you for it. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Let me, before we get into the Bible study this evening, let me do say the three things that news-wise that some of you probably heard, so maybe you haven't heard. The first thing, anybody going to Mecklenburg County anytime soon? If you go to Mecklenburg County, do not go to the restroom. Mecklenburg County has made it official that a transgender can choose whichever bathroom they want to go in. So beware. Don't let your children go in. Don't let them go or go with them. And so I just want to make you aware of that. Also, don't forget about the issue there with the same-sex marriage. One of the things I was reading this week, Brother Beatty just sent it out yesterday too. I'd already read some things about it. One of the things that was brought up was about churches. And basically, if this thing passes, if they make homosexuality a blanket across our nation, the reality is that we as a church, or I as a pastor, will be guilty of a federal crime when we do not allow homosexuals to marry in our church, is the way Brother Beatty has made it sound that way. And I don't know all the ins and outs of all that, but it's a scary thought. But it's timely, though. I mean, it's just where we're at. Another thing that was brought out was, and this is their leverage, and this I'm preparing you, because I know people that this will hurt. Well, I just know what they'll just quit giving. Their leverage is going to be tax exempt. They're going to take the church's tax exempt status, and then you won't be able to count your tithes off your taxes, and so you'll make a choice: do I tithe because I get tax credits, or do I tithe because that's what God wants me to do? Now you have to answer that for you. I'm just saying that's what's coming. That's their leverage points. So do pray about those things there. And then last of all, and we did it tonight, we're going to do it all the time. We're still praying in Jesus' name. Brother Jim, it surprised me when I saw that come down the pike. I thought that was a done deal with the Supreme Court, but apparently not. Most of you probably already heard the stink here in Rowan County. A federal judge, one judge, makes that decision. But we just need to keep doing what's right. And so do pray for those men that are trying to do right. So, amen. All right, let's look at sin a little bit tonight. That's all the problem, amen. That's why we're in this mess, is because of sin. And let me just refresh ourselves just a little bit. We looked over in Genesis chapter 3. We'll get back there just in a moment probably. It'll be later on maybe. But what is sin? That was our question. And most of the time when you ask that question to people, they'll start naming things. Alcohol, that's a sin. Pornography, that's a sin. Eating too much, that's a sin. Smoking, that's a sin. Yada, yada, you know, what is sin? That's the big question. And I hope you understand, or from last week, if you were with us, or if you weren't with us last Wednesday, I hope you'll understand tonight. When you go back to Genesis chapter 3 and all those things that we looked at last week, and we don't have time to go back and look at all those things, but sin is simply saying you don't believe what God says. When we sin, we're saying to God, I'm right, you're wrong. Preacher, that's not what I say. No, you didn't say it, but you are saying it. And so that's what sin is, and that's what happened in Genesis chapter 3. That's the reason we're looking at, again, we're looking at several things. Genesis chapter 3 is a pivotal chapter of so many doctrinal things that we can take out of it. We looked at God, we looked at Satan, we've looked now at sin. Praise God, when we get done with sin, we're probably going to look, there was a price for sin, amen? So we're going to see that. But what is sin? And we look, I think I had six things. Let me just run through some of those. 1 John 5:17, Psalms 33. We looked at all unrighteousness is sin. If you're not right, it's sin. And guess what? You're not right. That's the reason we can say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Why? Because unrighteousness is sin. So Again, why is that so? Because we don't line up with God. So that's all the key there. 1 John chapter 3, Psalms 19, we saw the transgression of the law is sin. James chapter 4, verse 17, we looked at the fact about the more we know, the more accountable we become. And that there was sin. If we know do right and don't do it, that is sin. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we looked at the fact about motive. You can be doing what you think's right, but have the wrong heart or mind or motive to it, and that will be sin. So we have to make sure that our motives are right as we do the things that we know to do right. Proverbs 21, verse number 4, this was a biggie, pride. Pride. All of us tonight struggle with pride. And again, let me say this, because I believe this, and I believe we can show it. Pride's a two-sided coin, if you remember with us last week. There's that pride of, look at me, look what I can do, I'm this, I'm that. And then there's that other pride of, oh me, I can't do this, and oh me, I'm this or that. That's the opposite side of that pride, but they're both pride. So pride is sin, we saw that. And then Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 9, probably most of you might have committed this one today, just the thought. When that guy pulled out in front of you and you had that thought of killing him, that's sin. Just the thought of it. It's not actual doing. Just the thought of that is sin. And I love this little statement. Not all men sin alike, but all men are alike sinners. That's a great little quote to put in your mind. Not all men sin alike. Mine and you, we don't do always doing the same things, but guess what? We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. So, we're going to look tonight just for a little bit on how sin works and how you can see it and all these things. So, we looked at a little bit of this last time, just this first one. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 this evening. Don't forget Sunday's Mother's Day. That'll save all of you fellas. I done took care of my side. I got her a flower because I knew I wouldn't have time. So, I'm good to go. Everybody's happy. Happy, what is it? Happy wife, happy life, that thing. We're good. So, there you go. Just trying to help you fellas. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Tonight, I believe, you're here on a Wednesday night. I hope you're here because you want to be here. I hope you've come looking to gain knowledge that you could draw closer to the Lord. But we should all want to live just as close to the Lord as we can, to live a holy life, a life that would be pleasing unto the Lord. But we still got to understand that sin is a reality, and we'll see that in just a moment. But as long as we're alive, we're going to deal with sin. But here in Hebrews chapter 3, look with me in verse 13 this evening. And I want to, I mentioned this a little bit last week, but I don't think I got exactly what I wanted out of it. The Bible says there, verse number 13, says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is, how does sin operate? It's very deceitful. Sin is very deceitful. You look at young people and what they're faced today with all the things that's in front of them. And I made mention of our day when I was growing up, you know, and I guess that rascal's still out there on billboards. I don't know. I don't pay much attention to billboards because most of them are profane and you don't look at them anyway. But, you know, the thought of, media is not dumb. The world's not dumb. They use things, you know, you drink this beer or you smoke this cigarette or you drive this car and you'll be the hottest thing around. You'll have all the girls. You'll have all this. Everybody will like you. Well, that's what sin does. Sin is very deceitful. And we see that in what Satan did there with Eve. So sin is deceitful. We need to constantly, though, as much as is it a fact that sin is deceitful, but the thing that I want you to get a hold of that God is showing us here in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, is something that with the reality that we're all sinners, the reality that there are sins in our lives that so easily beset us, those besetting sins, things that we have trouble with that maybe you don't have trouble with. what the Lord is showing here is the fact of that sin is very deceitful. It'll draw you. It'll make you think one way. It's just like, you know, I know people are doing a lot of fishing right now. It's just like that lure you throw out there into the water, you know. Some days you got to use a certain color. Some days you got to use above on top of the water. Some days you want it to be halfway down. Some days you want it on the bottom. Why do you do that? Because depending on what that fish is desiring, and that's another thing we'll see about sin, is sin is desirable. There is pleasure in sin for a season. Amen? Now, most of us say, oh, no, no. Why don't we be honest with ourselves tonight and understand that sin is very deceitful and it's also very desirable because our flesh leans that way. But that fish, that lure, what is that? Why do you think they call it lure? You ever think about words? Why do they call it a lure? He's hiding out down there in the brush pile and you're jerking that thing along and he's like, man, that looks good. Boy, I like that. Oh, yeah, that's the one. Oh, I can't stand it. Oh. And he's got. Well, what do you think the devil does to us? He bounces that thing just the right. Oh, that's not working today. Maybe we need to change colors. So the devil changes colors on his lure that day. Oh, wait a minute. They're riding up towards the top a little more today, so let's put one of those topwater jigs on. Oh, we'll get one of those. What's those? One of those that rattle. I don't know anything about fishing. I just, you know, got them little BBs in there. That thing just makes a rattling sound. It just drives them fish crazy. Oh, they're not. They must be down low tonight or today. So he'll change his lure and throw it down low. See, Satan knows how to play. And you need to understand tonight that, yes, sin is a part of my life that I must. And we're going to get to that over in Romans chapter 6, I think it is. Sin is one of those things that we must acknowledge that we have. Then we must learn how to deal with it. If I know I have the tendency of sin, what do you do with it? In Romans chapter 6, we'll see it's all about choice. So sin is very deceitful. And again, the devil's never going to show you the head-on collision that kills the family members because of alcohol. They'll never show you my brother had an accident last Saturday. Guess what the problem with that was? Guy behind him was talking on his cell phone. Looked up and guess what? My brother was sitting there and just run all over him. Everybody's got to have a cell phone though. The devil will never show you the consequences. And I'm glad that, you know, my daddy worked for cigarette factories for years. But I'm glad they show those. Some of them are really gross. I wish they'd show, this is really bad. I wish they'd start showing abortion stuff like that. But you've seen those TV commercials that's out there now with the guy that's got the trach or, you know, can't smoke cigarettes and just eat his face off, whatever. You know, they're starting to show some of that. Now, you know, there's too much money in liquor, so they're not going to show those things. Too many people up in Washington drinking the stuff, so they'll not do anything about that. But, you know, the devil don't want you to see the bad side of sin. All he wants you to see is, man, I could be that. So we must understand that sin is very deceitful. Look over in Hebrews chapter 12. How does sin operate? Sin is putting a frozen bottle on the preacher's pulpit. That's sin. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, you know, I want to say this right. A lot of people look at that verse and think about, you know, wherefore seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. They think that's, you know, mom and daddy that's in heaven and all that. No, that ties it back over to chapter 11, the great hall of faith. And what God's showing us there is here's men and women that God has given an account of what they did for the Lord and how their faith was in action. And now he's saying, look, all these guys, they were murderers and thieves and adulterers. And he says, if those guys were that way, guess what? You're that way too. And so again, these sins that so easily beset us. So sin is deceitful, but again, sin is real. That's how sin works. It's a reality. Just because you don't think it's real, don't change the fact that it is real. Back over in Romans chapter 7, we won't turn over there, but I like what Paul said in verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Sin's real. And you don't want to stay there. You don't want to sit in that, you know, under that juniper tree and suck your thumb till the day you die. The thing is to realize that everybody's a sinner. Quit pointing out everybody else's sin while you got the beam in your eye, and worry about your sin. But then again, I didn't say it enough back to Hebrews chapter 13 about that exhorting one another. Let's go back. I don't think I hit that like I wanted it again. Look at that verse again. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. I got on a rabbit there, but dealing with sin, again, sin is deceitful, sin is real, what we saw here in Hebrews chapter 12. But back to 13, or chapter 3, verse 13, is, but exhort one another daily while it's called today. We need to be able to encourage one another to live right. But the problem is it's hard to trust people because they'll slap it all over the internet, and then the world knows about your sin. You don't need to confess your sins to a priest. You don't need to confess your sins in a box. You need to tell the Lord about it. And then it's good to be able to help one another, to exhort one another, to encourage one another to live a godly life. And we need more of that. We're always that beaten down crowd sometimes. We need to turn that thing around some and be exhorting one another. Hey, you can make it. You can. Oh, man, I wish I'd have. I was passing through this morning and my wife had the news on, and they showed some woman that was in the military, and she was running some kind of mile thing that no woman had ever done. And I mean, they were rooting her on. Anybody see that this morning? How many miles did she go? I mean, she was fully loaded up. I mean, she had a pack on that was bigger than her. And they showed her fall down, and I mean, she'd get back up, and she'd go a couple of steps and fall back. I mean, I didn't think she was, I mean, she was as close to me and David to the finish line. And I mean, I thought, she's done. She ain't getting up. But I noticed what all the other men were doing. Get up! Get up! You can do it! What was they doing? There was an encouragement. They were exhorting her. Hey, you're laden. You got a heavy weight on you. Get up. Get up. That's what we as a church, that's what we as brothers and sisters in Christ, is so easy to let Satan use us because, did you hear about that preacher at Fail? I heard the preacher over at Gospel Lights running around with the pastor's secretary. What I heard. Well, he's married to her, so that's probably true. Isn't the negativity always seem to be what grabs our lure? And we'll talk about somebody else's fall. Why don't we stop and say, wait a minute. You know, that brother could probably need a phone call. Hey, man, I just want to call and tell you I love you. Man, I heard some things that happened. I don't care. I don't need to know any of that. I just want to tell you I'm on your side. I'll pray with you. I'll cry with you. Don't see much of that these days. We need more of that. And that's what we see here, that sin is real. Sin is deceitful. The power of sin. Look over in Romans chapter 6. Is there power to sin? Oh, yeah. And I'll be honest with you. I know for a fact, physically speaking, in the physics realm of ours, the laws of physics, I guess that's a better way to say this. I could tell Brother Bill to turn every light off back there, and it'd get really dark in here. There'd be some light because of the windows, but if we could block out all the light, and it'd be so black you couldn't see your nose. The law of physics is true because if I turned on one light, guess what? Darkness has to flee. Darkness never overpowers the light. Light always outshines. I did have a physics question one time, and I did have this question. If you're going the speed of light and you turn on the headlights, will they shine? I'll let you think about that. That was one of our physics questions. But I've many times pondered in my heart, I know that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. That's a law. That's a truthful, physical, spiritual truth. The Lord in me is greater than this world. But do we not sometimes need to think about this, though, and think, how come it seems like the darkness overcomes the light? Anybody ever have that? I do. I think about that. Why does it seem like darkness is always winning? Why does it seem like that's always overcoming? I think Romans chapter 6 is a key to that, of why that's happening. Let's look at it together this evening. Now, I know if you try to be a soul winner, and I ain't sure that's a great terminology, but if you tell people about the Lord, that's a better terminology. A lot of us use the book of Romans, and that's great. There's a lot of great verses there that we can use. But I want you to understand that as we read this tonight, this is not written to a lost person. Romans chapter 6 is not written to the lost. And when you understand that, when you read these verses, they ought to hit our house a little bit tonight. This is written to people like me, a saved person. Romans chapter 6, let's look at it. Verse number 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? That don't sound like he's talking to a lost person, does it? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice he says, even so we also should. Just because you're saved tonight don't mean you're walking the way the Lord wants you to walk. Can I say this tonight? If you are saved tonight, you ought to want to walk the way the Lord walks. If you're saved tonight, when you're living in sin, there ought to be something that bothers you. So again, we should walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not. Doesn't mean you do or you don't, but you shouldn't. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, what's dead? Yeah, y'all look pretty alive to me. What's dead? That old man. That thing inside of me. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Is that a true statement? Sure it is. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Let not. Who is that to? That's to you and to me. Not to God. Let not. That's my part. Sin will always try. Always bombarding. always pestering you. Always. Boy, the flies. Don't you hate old pesky fly? That's how sin is. It'll buzz around your nose. If you kill one, there'll be another one comes. Let not. Verse 12. Let not, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Who are you obeying? The lust of the flesh? Verse 13. 12 says, let not, and then obey it, the lust thereof. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, put all that first 13 verses, we're moving on just in a minute, we're going to read the whole chapter, but you put those 13 verses together and you look at what we just read, the truth of that when a saved person, we've been given life through Christ, He's paid for that sin. Look, our sins were paid for at Calvary. The sins that I did commit, the sins that I do commit, the sins that I will commit, my sins are gone. Now, that's a fact. But then on the other side of that fact is the fact that we have to deal with sin. What we've just read here, verses 13, we see that you and I right now have a choice. And you're going to make a choice. Do you choose to walk after the Lord? Or do you choose to walk after the flesh? And that's what it is. That's how we must understand every day, when sin comes towards our lives, the best thing to do is get away from it. Don't even start to think about it. If you have to think about it, you're already in trouble. But you've got to mentally, physically, spiritually choose to either go after the flesh and the lust and the desires of the flesh, or to understand that the Lord wants me to follow Him. And that's what we see here. It's all about a choice. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin will not. I mean, again, we're saved. Sin has been paid for. But on the also that note, sin shall not have dominion over you. There is no sin. Well, preacher, I couldn't help myself. You can give any excuse you want. But you had a choice. You had a choice to say, okay, God, I know what you want. But God, this is what I want. And it all rolls back to what sin is. Sin's saying, God, I'm going to say what I want to do and not listen to you. So that's what sin is. So we see here that we don't have to let it control us. Verse 15. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servant to obey, His servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, we're not talking about losing our salvation. Again, we're talking about a saved person trying to walk a Christian, feel Christ-like life. Again, whoever you yield to, whoever you are master, or whoever your master is, that's who you're servant to. And it's not like it's, okay, I give my heart to the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Paul said, I got to die daily. So every day you got to, which way are you going? Which way are you going? We got to let God, you know, God wants to drive tonight. God wants to drive your life. He's not going to make you do anything. People say, preacher, pray for me and I can get victory over this. You've already got victory. You just choose not to have it. That's the honest truth. We don't like to drive on that boat, but God's already given us victory. The problem is we relinquish our victory. There's nothing. Preacher, can you be sinless? No. Then what are you saying? I'm saying every day I have to make a choice. Verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So, a loss, sin leads us to what? More sin. But when we yield ourselves to God, it'll lead you closer to God. So, it's a choice. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield yourself members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And see, before and after. Verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? For the wages of sin is what? Death. This is only a preacher's thought right now. And I had, and it just come back through again, so I'll say it because I thought last week. When, in the garden, there was a tree. God told him not to eat of that fruit. What was the fruit? Nobody knows. And I know a lot of people say it was an apple. It's not an apple. Could be. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I don't think it's actually. And this is just me thinking a little bit in front of you tonight, because it comes back through my mind. Here we see here in verse 21, it says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and at the end everlasting life. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Fruit. What was sin again? Not listening to God, right? What fruit? Maybe it's a fruit of disobedience. That's the fruit. When you disobey, it leads to death. Preacher, what about us that are saved? Guess what? That sin the devil tried to tell you won't hurt you, it's hurting you. Whatever that sin in my life is that it so easily besets me that I like Job, God asked Job, Job, you gonna play with the devil like he's a bird? Nobody will ever find out. What is it, preacher? Same thing you got. Why? It's just like David says, disobedience. Yeah, but you know, I've done it 10 times and hadn't got caught. God's not beat me up. I hadn't lost my family. I hadn't wrecked my car. Why do you play that game? You think because your car's still running and your bills are paid that, oh, God didn't catch that sin. God catches them all. See, again, sin is very deceitful. And if we're not careful, we'll play with this thing like we see here, that fruit of disobedience that we think doesn't hurt us or doesn't bother us or, again, doesn't hurt my family or my children. How do you know? Where could I have been in my walk with Christ if those sins had not been in my life? I'll never know. You see what I'm saying? You can't sit here and say it don't hurt you, because you have no idea what God wanted to do in your life. And we choose which master to serve. So that's how sin works. Again, we use verse 23, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a fact. Again, this is written to the saved. You've heard this thing before. Sin will always cost you more than you want to pay. It'll take you further than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. That's what sin does. That's how it works. I mentioned this, and I ain't going to spend a lot of time here. We're going to go Exodus chapter 32 over there, when Moses and them come off the mountain, the assistant pastor Aaron out there making golden calves for the people. And this, I'm driving this to us. I want you to understand. When knucklehead down the road does something and gets caught, whatever it is, the world don't say a whole lot about old knucklehead down the road. But when the pastor or the deacon or the church member does something wrong, and we do, and it's big, and again, you've heard this, sin's sin, right? There's no big sin, little sin, right? Well, I understand somewhat what they're trying to say there, but I want you to understand this also. When Moses was talking to Aaron and the people, he calls it a great sin. You have caused them to have a great sin. Why? I thought sin was sin. We just said that, didn't we? Why is that one a great one then? Because that was the nation of Israel. They should have been better than what they were. That was God's people. What about us? When we sin, it's my life, I'm going to do what I want to. You do what you want to anyway. But shouldn't we want to not do those things, that we would be more like Christ? Cause them to have a great sin. When we sin, mamas, daddies, try to live a life for your children. You want them to be saved. You want them to live for God. Surely you don't want them to live in this world. But when they see you do something, you just sinned a great sin. Why? Now, you're hurting yourself, your relationship with God, but you just hurt that one. It's not just you. It's a great sin. So, there you go. Genesis chapter 3, let me give you this real quickly. We're not going to read it, but let me give you this because it ties in. How did it work with Eve in the garden? How did it work with when Satan beguiled her? What did he do? Same thing he does today. First, doubt. Did God say? Doubt. That's where it starts. Doubt. Again, what's the sin? It wasn't the sin of eating a fruit. It was a sin of disobedience, not obeying God. First, we see doubt. The second thing we see is deception. You'll not die. God's trying to keep you at bay. See, Satan wanted to deceive. Third was the desire. What did he tell Eve? You'll be like God. Is that not what Satan does in your life? He gets you to doubt. He gets you deceived. He starts getting that desire. And then last of all, what's Satan going to get you to do? You better buy this car today. You got to do it today. If you don't do it today, what are you talking about, preacher? Don't you hate them pushy? Ain't none of y'all car salesmen, are you? I don't think so. Don't you hate them pushy people? Oh, you got to make. I used to tell my teenagers, when they tell you got to make a decision today, stick your tongue out and walk off. Because when you have to make a decision today, you're probably going to make the wrong one. Doubt, deceive, desire. What's last? actually decision, but it was to disobey. Decision. What did Romans 6 say? I'm not going to follow my flesh. I'm not going to follow the Lord. It's a decision. Same thing with Eve. Same thing today. So that's how sin is. Oh, wretched man that I am. That I wish I didn't do, I do. That which I wish I would do, I don't. Still true today, isn't it? It's a great book. Amen. Let's stand together this evening.